welcome to the Provider Podcast by NHS Providers. My name is Saffron Cordery, and this is the first episode of our Digital Board series. In this season, we're focusing on lessons learned, and we ask a variety of professionals from both within and beyond the NHS about their digital transformation journeys. In this episode, we focus on lessons from other sectors. We hear reflections on a Digital Boards event, including non-executive directors, as they discuss how their digital experience from outside the NHS supports their roles. We look at the role of trust boards in influencing digital innovation, and we also reflect on how to manage a digital strategy that doesn't exacerbate digital inequalities. The conversation is led by Chris Fleming, Director at Public Digital, partnering our Digital Boards programme. You can join in the conversation by following us on Twitter and LinkedIn at NHS Providers with the hashtag #TheProviderPodcast. Find out more about our National Digital Boards programme by searching NHS Providers Digital Boards, and keep up to date on future episodes by subscribing to the podcast. Thank you.
So we're looking forward to a good discussion, and firstly I'm going to hand over to the panel to introduce themselves. So let's go in the order of Lynn, Shumit and Pankaj. So over to you, Lynn, on who you are and your interest in digital.
Thank you, Chris. So firstly, for me, it's an absolute pleasure to be here today, and I'm really proud to be a non-executive director in York Teaching Hospital Foundation Trust. And for me, the NHS is a superb institution which is very much rooted in the bedrock of our society. And it's a thank you to the staff and those who support it, who give so much for the benefit of so many patients, and more so during the pandemic. So I've spent the majority of my career in networks and IT in BT, working with customers both in the public and private sector. I've been very fortunate in BT to have been able to choose a varied and what I call a growth career, gaining experience and professional education both in the UK and internationally. I've had the pleasure of leading many global talented BT teams across many areas of the business, from working at board level in BT Group, leading on customer experience and transformation, to delivering a 10-year review in BT's performance, working with Ofcom, the regulator. I've also had the pleasure of launching new products, leading on sales systems, to doing mergers and acquisitions in Singapore. And in more recent years, relevant to, really to this as well, is leading on digital transformation and future innovation as part of a multi-billion pound Pan-BT digital initiative.
Thank you, Lynn, for that introduction. Lots of relevant experience there, I would say, particularly latterly. Shumit, let's go to you next.
Chris, thank you. Thank you very much. And good afternoon, everybody. In terms of my background, I started off some years ago working for a strategy consulting firm. And that was great. That was great. But it did feel rather distant from where change actually happens in organizations. And so on the back of that, I moved into designing and delivering business change and transformation. That's really where I've been for about 35 years now. And 15 years of that was leading in-house change teams, firstly in retail, then I went into telecoms. I was in the cable industry with Telewest, and then 6 years at Vodafone UK, where I was the director managing cross-organizational initiatives. So for the last 15 years, it's been my own business and doing the same sort of thing. So a fantastic variety. And what I enjoy doing is working right across organizations, sort of bridging between departments and functions. And you know, one of my hobby horses is I think a lot of value gets lost in that space between strategy and making tangible changes. So for me, the bridging, that bridging process always involves technology, but it's so, so much more than that. And then I see actually the world of digital transformation. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. But in my NHS role, I'm a NED at the South Central Ambulance Service, SCAS.
That's great. Thank you, Shumit. Finally, Pankaj, let's go to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Very pleased to join this session today. I spent 30 years working for BP, 15 years working in course finance roles, including CFO, country CFO roles. The second half of my career at BP, mainly on business transformation, digital transformation, and leading projects that would substantially improve and integrate the organization. I worked out of Trinidad, I worked in Houston, I've also had many global roles similar to Lynn, and it's been a very exciting career. I also got involved in some outsourcing opportunities, and there are some pretty clear linkages between standardization, digitization, and outsourcing and leveraging scale and size. So I'll talk a bit more about that later on. I left BP and then ran my own consultancy business for 3 years, and then I got headhunted to go and work for a company called Reliance Industries in India. Many people may not know Reliance because it only operates in India. It's the largest company in India. I worked for 5 years as the group chief of governance and integration, where I led a five-year business transformation, improving and integrating processes, systems, data, organization. And I also led the design and delivery and implementation of a new group operating model for the conglomerate. I'm a non-executive director at the University Hospitals Dorset. I'm also on the board of directors as a lay trustee with the Royal College of Surgeons.
Thank you very much, Pankaj. And again, just extremely relevant experience there. And I'm so grateful for such a breadth of insight and experience on this honest panel today. So without further ado, let's get into the discussion. I want to return to you, Lynn, and, you know, as you say, latterly leading on digital transformation experience and coming into the NHS in your role as a NED, do you feel has been particularly relevant to you in that previous experience in your role as a non-exec?
Yeah, for me, I think the experience is in a number of key areas. Digital transformation, is it really set up for success in your organisation? Are you assured as an NED? For me, there's 5 C's, I'd say, of checks: commitment, customer, culture, collaboration, and communication. So from a commitment point of view, does everyone have an understanding of what digital means to your organisation, i.e., do the initiatives have the right sponsorship at board level? Is the case for change clear, supported with funding? Secondly, customer. I put customers at the heart of everything we did with human-centered design, whether it's reviewing and improving customer journeys or systems or processes. For example, one of my team initiatives or global customers was automating the delivery of complex customer design documentation, which could take weeks manually. But through automation, through looking at the process, we reduced the cycle time significantly, being able to automate and deliver in minutes. And for one of the journeys, for instance, in the trust, I recall when I first arrived was reviewing the patient and family journey while moving around the hospital and seeking assurance that we actually put a true Wi-Fi solution into the trust, which is great because it is free now. And then from a culture point of view, as Peter Drucker, a real guru in management consultancy, said, culture eats strategy for breakfast. And for me, this is one of the biggest learnings from transformation. It can kill a transformation program from culture and mindset shift. It's always difficult, but participation by those that are affected by the change, so being close to the change, from the development to the execution to the embedding and creating a team of change champions or advocates to help you, I think is paramount. One of the transformation initiatives I led in a large global division was to set a challenge actually for technical people to really drive incremental growth, which meant a change in process, but a huge shift in mindset. And we developed a program and a rallying cry, Going for Growth, with a simple new process, but we transformed the mindset. And we set a target, really ambitious, for multi-million growth with non-salespeople. They were not being led as salespeople, they were technical people, but we managed to achieve a one-year multi-million pound growth, over exceeding the target. And that was through having local change champions participating in the change. And I was a visible leader along with my team. We piloted, we had quick feedback to learn the lessons and course correct. And for me, that global engagement, participation and local ownership really contributed to that success. So as a NED, I think you really do need to build that trust, be open, be a good listener, so that staff can approach you. And indeed, in a foundation, trust its governors as well. Collaboration, I'd say, is key. McKinsey estimates that 75% increase in advanced and specialist digital skills are needed by 2030. So not only do you need to have the right mix within your organisation, I don't believe you can do this on your own. In BT, we had an ecosystem of partners from some of the big names like Apple, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, to really small niche players that I work with. And that to me is a really important element to collaborate in digital. The other area is communication as a checklist. Like all transformation, you start with the end in mind. And as a newspaper article, what would the headline say if it was published? So really regularly communicate, even if it's bad news, communicate. I mentioned process and systems. So are these being reviewed? Are you assured as a NED that they're a key part of the patient journey? And you've got a grip on the basics, seek assurance. So before we built anything from a transformation point of view, we made sure the basics were fixed. So are you aware as a NED that anything from an IT or a network point of view, for instance, that's end of life? In BT, my team built a digital maturity matrix. So we understood the technical maturity roadmap of where we were headed. And then finally, from a governance, managing that risk along with measuring the success and outcomes. For example, an overall measure for BT was the Net Promoter Score, which is familiar across industries. So how likely are you to recommend BT to a customer, a colleague, or friend? And it's the same with, you want that patient experience in the trust to be right, so that they've got the best quality of care and the best access to healthcare whilst you are rolling out your digital programme. And it's making sure you adhere to the regulation along the way, which is absolutely critical. And it's respecting that so that you comply with the rules of the NHS and the regulator and hold the board to account.
Thank you, Lynn. I want to ask you briefly, Lynn, which of the five C's were the most difficult in your experience? And which do you think the NHS is sort of struggling with the most?
So I think culture, without a doubt. And I think all organisations struggle with transformation in terms of making sure that you've got it. It's not just delivering it, it's embedding it. And it's making sure you have that right culture and you have those right champions. And I think the NHS is no different. Some organisations, I think, are more ahead than others. There's the global digital exemplars have got a bit of a lift and with some of that. I know York is hoping to be a digital aspirant as well, because we've got some great initiatives going. So for me, culture, without a doubt.
Thanks for that. Shumit, please come
in. Yeah, if I can come in, actually, Lynn, I would treble underline one of your points, this business about culture, eating strategy for breakfast. No, that sort of resonates big time with me. And so that the nicest possible strategy is only just that. You know, it really needs to be underpinned by what's going to change. And ultimately, what needs to change is people's actions, people's behaviours, and so on and so often we forget that. The challenge for me sometimes in my non-NED world is sometimes getting the mandate. So I think what I would almost invite us all to do as a group of NEDs, a couple of things really. One is I'd say we're very well placed to be able to look across the organisations that we're part of, so we can help join the dots, shall we say. We can look for those operating models, the killer apps, whatever you want to call it, which connect up the different parts. So like my example of how do we actually do something that will link sales and service or whatever the equivalents are in your organization. So I think we're well placed to be able to do that. And we should be able to be quite restless, maybe, to be able to look for those sorts of things. I think that I'd invite us as a group of NEDs to be doing that. In another world at the moment, I'm financial services. I'm looking to move on a big digital piece there. And we're finding it quite difficult. And the reason why we're finding it difficult is getting the mandate for that change. It's not the technology and building the technology, but it's actually the mandate. Why? Because the mandate is cross-organizational. And of course, the change is to be cross-organizational. So it's almost, you know, mirroring the problems that we anticipate. So I would encourage us all as NEDs to be that connector. We can actually work across organization and we can be demanding, maybe a bit pushy sometimes, to try and get that mandate happening. And I think that's something I believe that as a body of NEDs, we're probably pretty well placed to be able to do.
Pankaj, just to bring you in on the mandate question, I mean, you come from a background, obviously, as a former CFO in BP. Getting that mandate and the financial backing is not an insignificant challenge. Any reflections from your experience of digital transformation that you've been able to bring to your NHS NED life?
Yeah, I'll answer that at two levels, Chris. I think, firstly, what are some of the key lessons I've learned? I mean, we all know that, everybody on the call knows that transformations don't always succeed, and there's a higher chance of having problems and issues versus actually succeeding. What I've learned from many successful transformations, and also some that haven't actually worked out as well as we planned, is you've got to begin, as Lynn said, begin with the end in mind, but be very specific on your outcomes, not start with generic outcomes. So now in Reliance, very different kind of place. I work for the chairman and managing director, great visionary. So he was thinking 5 years ahead. He had a very successful company already, but the company was growing exponentially. And he needed to create something where he could get end-to-end digital, the digital chain, as he used to call it. So how do you create a lot of platforms, a series of digital platforms that connect up to serve not just one part of the business, but to serve all the different various parts of the business? So agnostic solutions, doesn't matter whether you're in retail or whether you're in telecoms, certain parts of the business's operations are very consistent and common. He also wanted to turn around and think about how we take an end-to-end view. And I think a lot of the change management conversations are very, very important. I mean, reflecting on this in my own career, a lot of times you had situations where, say, the finance team wanted to fix something, so finance started fixing in their own silo, and then they would turn around and say, "Well, IT will come and fix this for me." So then IT start doing what they think is required, and it was a bit broken. So the greatest learning I had was, if you think about linking your processes, systems, data, organization, and your governance, and the governance basically is your operating model. If you integrate all of those as one, you actually get the right outcome. How is that? Well, if you think that your strategy is delivered through a series of annual plans, and your annual plans are delivered by people undertaking actions and activities through a series of processes, these processes are supported and enabled through a set of systems. Data passes through all those systems to turn around and allow people to transact and to connect up in what they're doing. The organization then has to be built, as Shumit said, around the workflow that you've designed with your digital. You don't leave your workflow exact, your organization as it is. So you completely get rid of that. You don't worry about whether it's like HR do this and IT do that and procurement do this and operations do that. You look at the end-to-end process. If I buy something from the beginning to the end, how does it work and who gets involved? And how can you create nimble teams that actually work through systems and are connected through systems? And that allows you to deliver solutions which are scalable. So how does this apply in the NHS? So we had last October, we had the merger between our three trusts. As part of that merger, we've set up a board committee called the Transformation Committee, which I am chairing. And as part of my role on that committee, we have oversight on a few key areas. On the patient benefit case, to make sure that patient safety and quality is maintained, as the three hospitals come together. So it's three hospitals, about 9,500 staff. Make sure that the people and the culture change and the values and the softer aspects of people having an identity with a single organization comes in, because hearts and minds is really important. Think about how we manage the estates and the plant aspect of our organization to make sure that we are operating very, very efficiently, but also compliant with sustainability agenda requirements, et cetera. We have some big capital build projects. We're going to be spending a couple of hundred million pounds on expansion for new facilities, operating theatres, different sites, etc. Then we have our favorite cost improvement plans, which our NHS colleagues, we all live with day in and day out, can't get away from some good things. But underpinning this, I also have as part of my scope the digital strategy delivery team that reports into this, because that's the digital strategy either enables some of these business outcomes, it can be a catalyst for some of those new ways and innovations and creativity that could come in, and it actually could be a disruptor for some of the things that we've taken for granted. So really having that integrated is very, very important.
Shumit, I can see you want to come in.
Yeah, I'm just going to add to Pankaj's point, really, that I really like the theme about thinking about journeys, process, if you will. And certainly for those of us who've been doing digital work in, you know, the private sector and in corporates, we often think about what is the customer journey. And that's the sort of the the mantra, isn't it? How does it look, and you know, how does it feel, and you know, some of the things to do are to observe the work being done. So to hell with that strategy document, let's have a look at how does the work actually get done. And that's what you would typically do some observations and so on. Now, if we sort of flip across to thinking about the NHS, in many respects the vocabulary is, you know, that we use slightly different words, but it's the same thing. We need to think about the pathways, and we've been talking about pathways forever in the NHS, and that's great. So we've actually been thinking about these sorts of things. So I'd almost, you know, invite us as a group of NEDs to put that hat on, if you will, and to think about how does the patient navigate through our services. And of course, the awkwardness sometimes for us is that it doesn't sit within one trust. It often flips between trusts, and it goes from one sector to another. It goes into an acute, maybe it comes out, it goes into a community setting, or goes through an ambulance service or whatever. But ultimately, I think thinking about the patient journey is the way that we'll be able to build a very effective digital solution. So that's kind of, you know, I hope building on Pankaj's point. And then, you know, joining up and actually thinking it through is something I think we as NEDs are probably quite well placed to be able to do. You know, I've really enjoyed not sitting in board meetings, dare I say it. I love the board meetings, of course, but actually going out with crews and going out on the road when we could do that, which was obviously more than a year ago, but hopefully I'll be able to do a bit more of that. And you can actually see what it's like for the patient to experience our services. You can also spot some of the things that seem a bit clunky. You know, I was looking at our electronic patient record tablet, and, you know, in one instance, we seem to spend as much time tapping stuff into that device as we did engaging with the patient. And I'm thinking, why? So maybe there's something there we can fix. But you will observe those things by getting out there and witnessing what the patient experiences or the employee experiences. And then that usually triggers some good conversations back at board or back wherever, so that we can do that. So I just, you know, make a plea really that we think about the pathway model. And as NEDs, we can actually be quite well placed to be able to agitate and suggest some changes that can be made on the back of thinking about how things flow or sometimes don't flow.
What do you think the role of trust boards can be in terms of influencing the market to create the most usable solutions or usable digital services, I should say? Shumit.
Just again to add, I think if we'd been sitting here a few years ago, there might have been a sort of hint of accusation of the NHS being quite slow, clunky to deliver, setting up these mega IT projects that never go, you know, all those sorts of things. We've read about those in the press, haven't we? I have to say the last year has left me in awe in terms of what can be done, has been done, the pace and the quality in which we have delivered, you know, and so I say, you know, proudly we have delivered, but certainly my colleagues in executive roles and the folks in on the ground have delivered has been absolutely amazing. So to some extent, we've kind of blown away that myth that we don't deliver, we can't deliver. And I think the challenge for us now is to be able to harness that so that we actually make good of all of that impetus we've created over 2020 and into this year. So I don't think it's a case of slow to deliver. And so now how can we maintain that impetus, carry on working at that pace and deliver the right thing? So that's kind of my plea really, that we almost galvanize and we don't let ourselves slip backwards, if you like, to you know, a world of, you know, 20 years ago. So yeah, it's good. Let's actually get progress. Let's get outputs. Let's get things to happen quickly. That would be my plea. I would, yeah, I mean, pace without sacrificing quality, safety, all those sorts of things. And yeah, I can think of an example where I worked on a business in Lincoln, and they were so keen to deliver so quickly, they delivered and took benefits before they were ready. So I wouldn't go there, let's put it that way. And that's some of the world of private equity view. But I mean, certainly, you know, let's try and, you know, deliver results faster than we may have done, you know, 10 years ago. And that's the real opportunity for us as we go into 2021.
Lynn, please come in.
So for me, I think 2 points on the discussion. I'd say certainly COVID has acted as a force majeure. It's really pushed forward technology, and I've seen some wonderful examples of, for instance, across all of the NHS, the use of video conferencing, the use of tablets, working from home has really been propelled forward with COVID, but it's been a benefit from the point of view of the use of technology and digital transformation. In terms of kind of looking into the NHS, definitely it has a lot of its own skills. In York Trust, we have our own electronic patient record system, which has been developed over years by our own in-house IT staff and is really good and connects patient data. However, I do see a future, as I mentioned earlier, on collaboration of having a hybrid approach. The world is moving so fast. In industry, it's turbocharging digital. And I don't think the NHS can truly do it on its own. I think there will be that mix of, depending on which health service you are, but how you can mix things between what industry can offer and what the NHS itself can do.
How, in your experience, can you manage a digital strategy that mitigates and doesn't exacerbate health inequalities?
If I can maybe just plug a really, really great paper that people may want to read. The Royal College of Surgeons of England has a paper on there called The Future of Surgery, and I really recommend people read that. It's just it's mind-blowing in terms of what's coming down the road for us on technology. But one of the big things it talks about is patient partnerships, because we're now moving away, we want to move away from intervention to preventative care, people being taken care outside of the hospital environment. And all these things require us to connect up in a very organic way and understand all of our patients. The new technologies are not just data, new technologies around wearables and things of that nature, and creating electronic patient records, which are kind of universal, will help that. I think as part of that, we will then be able to access and do some real meaningful data and analytics on some of the more disadvantaged members of society and those members that may not be getting the full benefits of our national health system. And I think having that access to that data. But I think we fix it by creating a linkage with the general population, because that's the direction of travel. But as part of that, I think we'll be able to then start to see where there are gaps and opportunities to fix some of these inequalities.
How are we going to tackle that cross-system working?
The one thing I was thinking, there's a bit of a tension here. And, you know, we're talking about innovation, we're talking about agility, we're talking about doing things small, testing them, improve, you know, that cycle. And that's at the heart of digital and digital transformation work. The risk is, of course, that you get fragmentation. And I haven't got an easy answer to this one, but of course, we get to a point where, you know, and I've had this conversation in SCAS quite a lot, where we seem to have a lot of apps floating around, and I've been grumbling a bit, oh, there's an app here, an app here, an app here. And of course, those are all good innovations. So we mustn't stifle that. We mustn't kill that off. But equally, at some point, you need to join it up and create the framework which actually connects those things up. So otherwise, you risk actually not improving things from a, you know, the journey point of view that we've talked a lot about earlier. So I haven't got an easy answer to that. And I just sort of leave us with the thought that probably as NEDs, we've got the role to play to stimulate and encourage that innovation, you know, and that's great. And to say, yes, go for it. Let's have it. Let's make sure we deliver benefits against it. But equally, at some point, as NEDs, we also need to say, how does it all join up? And there's a role to play to, you know, kind of switch hats, if you like, and to say, you know, how does that link up? How does it connect up? How does it bridge back to the strategy and so on? So I haven't got an easy answer to this, but there's a bit of a tension there, I think, in all the work we do in digital in particular.
I think that's a really useful call to action. Thanks so much to you all as the panel. It's been a brilliant conversation. I only wish we had more time. And thank you to everyone on the call. Adam, over to you.